Just wanted to read this together. It's not a long psalm, but a good reminder to us. Psalm 93, the Lord reigneth. Let's think about that for a second. The Lord reigneth. Say, well, this was written a long time ago. Lord reigneth. Still good. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also was established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting. Floods have lifted up, O Lord. Floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. But it reminds us in verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waters, the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I am thankful for your majesty. I'm thankful for your holiness. I'm thankful for your righteousness which you are just clothed with. It's just who you are, Lord. Thank you. God, in the midst of waves and floods rising all around us, Lord, it's good to know that we can just trust in you. God, I pray that you bless the service, the remainder of the service here this morning. God, may you be honored and glorified. Lord, we need you. We love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you read things like that, and it's just kind of puts things in right perspective again. With all the craziness that's going on in the world and the ups and downs of life, it's good to be reminded that the God of heaven is still the God of heaven. No matter what this world looks like, I can trust in Him. They are very sure, it says. I'm going to ask you to do something here this morning. Just be, if you could, just be a little extra sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, there's times when the Holy Spirit of God almost has to hit one of the disciples. Hey, get up, boy. Get out of here. I'm leading you out. And then we read other places where the Spirit of God moves in a still, small voice. Hey, if He smacks you upside the head, I ask that you'd move. But I do ask also if He is touching your heart ever so gently, that you would be extra sensitive to that tonight. Well, this morning. I want you to kind of dwell on these thoughts. I don't have a lot of thoughts here today. But the things that I'm going to share with you, I pray that you'd consider deeply in your own heart. I want you to remind yourself of this. Everything in this life is temporal. Everything we have, every person around us, every substance, one day it's going to come to pass. Guaranteed. And we put such a strain on trying to hold on to earthly possessions that we almost make ourselves mad. I want to remind you today that all can be lost. It hasn't, but it could be. So that's not very encouraging. Genesis chapter number 22. We had a blessing of a time yesterday. I asked many of you to pray. We were at Selden Square yesterday. Got to have a one-day vacation Bible school. Mrs. Runyon, you were there helping us out. Pastor Seatman did a great job with the games. The kids helped with crafts. The pizza was good. And we had a short little lesson, and that was a blessing. Sent kids home with candy. I like candy. I like chocolate. I like giving it away. Gave some away. Some of it got returned back to me. Not because they didn't like it, but they knew I liked it, and they shared. Praise the Lord. Some God-fearing people that share their candy. Today we have Miss Nadia with us. Her little son, Gage, came to to that yesterday's and blessing having her with us today. Praise the Lord for that. Make sure after service you get over there. Say hello. Give her a little space, but say hello. Be friendly. Genesis chapter 22, hopefully you found it by now. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I'm going to ask you a question here today. What's your most prized possession? Abraham had a lot of things. He was a mighty man. He was blessed by God in a lot of different ways. The Bible said that he had herds of cattle. He had sheep. He had camels. He had servants. He had possessions. But the most valuable thing in Abraham's life was not all those things. It was one individual. His son. His son Isaac. And Abraham wanted to test, God wanted to test Abraham. What is the most important thing in your life? Is it me? Or is it everything else? I'm going to ask you this morning, what is the most important thing in your life? You may be sitting next to the most important person in your life, but that wasn't the question. What is the most important thing in your life? You may think, down the hall, a couple rooms on the right or left, there's a pretty important person down there. I understand. I have some of those too. Some are in this room. What do you think Isaac meant to Abraham? Let's read this. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God says, I want you to take your son and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, it would be somewhat strange as we read this passage of what kind of God would ask us to kill our own children. Let's finish the passage. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Hey, if you told me that day I was going to sacrifice my son, I guarantee I will have slept in. But Abraham rose early in the morning. If you asked Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, asked Abraham in Genesis chapter 21, what do you love most? And he said, God. Well, chapter 22 is that test. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. On the third day, a 3 days journey, imagine the conversation going on there, the sobriety about Abraham. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass and I, and the lad will go yonder. And the Bible says, and here it is, the first time in your Bible, the word worship. No songbooks, no music notes, No, it was that of sacrifice. And come again to you. And the Bible says in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Very exact, very descriptive. We see exactly the intentions. We knew it wasn't a misunderstanding. God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. Abraham, without hesitation, takes his son up to the place exactly where God told him. He has all the stuff for it. And the Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son," and he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" No doubt in my mind that Isaac had seen this situation multiple times. This was a man that feared God, loved God, knew exactly how to please the Lord, satisfy the judgment of God by offering a burnt sacrifice, but normally it was a lamb. But that day, Abraham knew, Isaac did not, that it was going to be his son. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Abraham in verse 8 pretty much says, "I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I trust God and it's going to work out." Again, Abraham is traveling with his most prized possession, his son Isaac, with the intention that in but a few moments, he was going to sacrifice him to God. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. There it all is laid out. Wood, son, bound, knife in hand, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. What did God tell Abraham to do? "I want you to kill your son. I want you to offer Isaac as a burnt offering to me." Do we have examples of this anywhere else in Scripture? No. Outside of Jesus Christ. This was not a common thing. This was, as what I read, outside of the paganism of other nations, this is the only occurrence where I see a man killing his son by command of God. It's not like Abraham can look back and go, "You know, I remember when reading about Noah one time, and he was told to, and Adam did that," and he just goes through the list of patriarchs before him and say, "This is just my turn to do this." No, normally the sacrifice was a lamb. Never before was God ever asked for a father to kill his own son. And Abraham had every intention of doing that. There his son is bound on the altar, just him and his son. His son is a young man, Abraham an old man, telling me that Isaac was compliant with what God was asking. Abraham lifts the knife to slay his, took the knife to slay his son. And much like I even asked you this morning, Abraham being incredibly sensitive to the speaking and leading of God, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Thankfully, Abraham had a deep enough relationship that even on the mountain without, because doubts and fears will blind our communication with God, he fully trusted, fully believed everything, and had every intention that day to kill his son. But yet God out of heaven called out to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son," look at now, "thine only son from me." Who was Isaac? Well, he was the fulfillment of the covenant. He was going to be the line in which the Messiah came. He was the sand of the sea. He was the stars of heaven. And to God, he was pleased with the fact that Abraham was willing to give up the most important thing in his life for him. God goes on to bless Abraham in ways that we don't see too many receive blessings like that. I'm going to ask you a question here this morning. Where's the Lord in the list of your priorities? Say, is God going to ask me to slay my son? No. But what happens if you lost everything? Our verse for today is Psalm 16 in verse 5. Psalm 16 in verse 5. It's written in your bulletin. I have it written out here, but I think it's valuable enough to turn to it, underline it, highlight it, star it, circle it, make mention of it. So every time you read through the book of Psalms, this verse jumps off the page at your eyes. As you're in Psalm chapter 11, out of the peripheral corner of your eye, you can see Psalm 16 and verse 5. You know it's coming. May you refer to it, back to it frequently. May it be written within your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 16 and verse 5, this is a thought that has got to get inside of us. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And of my cup thou remainest my lot. He says, out of everything that I have, God is most important. May this verse be written on our walls of our house. May it be written on the very fibers of our mind. God, if I have you, I have everything I need. That was the testimony of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. No doubt we have some wonderful things in our life that are of great value. Maybe you like boating and you have a boat. Praise the Lord. Every time I go drive, where are the Martinez? Oh, they're in the Spanish service. Every time I drive to the Martinez house, right down their road. Anybody go down their road and see that enormous, huge speedboat smashed up? It's all smashed up. It's been smashed up for a while. And I think, man, that must have been fun for somebody for a moment. But it's just been sitting there, right? Destroyed for a while. Fun for a moment till you hit a dock or flipped it. I don't know. There's a lot of damage there. Maybe you walk into your house and you walk into that AC. You walk from muggy 82 into that cool 71 and you just thank God for Mr. Carrier. You just bless his name and say, I'm so thankful that God gave you wisdom to make me comfortable. There's no doubt we have some special things. Again, maybe you're holding them here in the front row this morning, Miss Piper, whom we love. You suck your fingers like Joe used to. She's got these two. And it was sentimental for a moment. It made me. And we hold in our hands the most important things, maybe our children, things that you can't buy at the store. And I just look at Genesis chapter 22 and I think, wow, to Abraham, God was even more important than that. I'm thankful God doesn't ask me to choose. But it ought to be a mindset, God, you are the most important. Help us to see the, Lord, help us to see the great value in you. This morning's message is titled, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance." So many times we say that we trust the Lord. Psalm 16, look at verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Do you? Do you put your trust in God? What does that look like? I do, but when it comes time to raise the knife, I just hold back. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." Because I have God in my life, I have hope. I hope in Him. I trust in Him. Can we separate trust and faith? Or can we separate faith and hope? No, they go hand in hand. You can't have the promises of God without the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 57 says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." How do we know God's goodness to us? I read about it. I've experienced it. You know what he says? He says, "I want you to trust me. I want you to give me you, and I'm going to do better with you than you could ever do with you. And I look at that and I go, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to see if God really is who he says he is. You know what? Every time I've come out saying the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. In our lives, we've all experienced some level of loss. If you have not, you will someday. Whether it was an item or a thing or maybe even a person. Yet God is still, even though the waters rise, he is still holy in his temple. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. I beg of you here this morning to put your faith and trust in him. Even when life feels like it doesn't make sense, can I ask you to put your faith and trust in him? The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Upon the throne of Abraham's heart was God sitting. And he proved it that day. You know, all intents and purposes, may I say that Abraham actually did kill Isaac. Although the knife never touched his throat or his heart, I don't know what his plan was. God saw that and said, yes, I am the most important thing to you. What do you work for? Often so filled in our words and our actions are these two words, my and mine. We're consumed with what pleases us rather than what pleases the Lord. What is the test of our inheritance? Is the Lord truly the portion of your inheritance? Now I'll ask you, what do you spend time on? What do you spend your thoughts on? What have you spent your treasure on? What do you long for? In Matthew chapter 16, if we could turn there. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. This morning's message is, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. I want to remind you, if you have God, you've got all that you need. You can take the best of this world and you could just toss it right in the dumpster. Yesterday we were cleaning up from that VBS and we're just taking bags of stuff. We were cleaning out. You look in the kitchen and go, wow, is that all that stuff available to take home? No, that is not the stuff available to take home. Runnings, again, donated a bunch of stuff. We appreciate our friends over there and they give us stuff and you could take it home. Mrs. Dickinson's ready to do some laundry. She's got some bleach going. Makes me nervous to see a gallon bottle of bleach in the sanctuary. You thought coffee's bad, but bleach is really bad. Anyways, and we see all that stuff. Anyways, we were cleaning out these side vestibules, and we were throwing out, old decorations, things that might have been broken in transition. We're just taking bags of stuff and throwing it away. You know what? That could be kind of like our life. God, here's all my stuff. You can take it all. All I want is you. Man, it sure is a blessing to be able to pull up in a car, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for a house to go home to. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the friends that God has blessed me with. But I also know that none of that is guaranteed. It makes me nervous saying some of these things. My dad asked the other day, he said, hey, if I were to want to watch some of those sermons, how do I watch your sermons? So I told him to check out the Facebook page. So I don't know if he's watching this morning. I don't know. Probably not. But he has a nice car. He has a really nice car. He has a borderline brand new Mercedes. He's like, Nick, I got in the car the other day, turned it on, check engine light came on. Brand new, 1-year-old Mercedes. Nice. I said, what happened? He goes, I went to drive it, one shift out of first gear. That's what I said. I said, oh. I said, that sounds like that's going to cost $1 trillion. You can get the most well-engineered machine in this world. You understand it's not guaranteed. There are some things that are guaranteed, though. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, a good reminder to us. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what God says? I want all your stuff. I want you. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He says, are you willing to take all of your stuff, put it in that dumpster, and it's just you and me? Not that he's asking, but are you willing? Are you satisfied that God is the portion of your inheritance? Is that enough for you? Well, I want God and some stuff. He doesn't share well. Maybe that's where I get it from. I'm not good at sharing. Well, sometimes. The Lord just wants you. Well, Abraham could have said, but God, this is my son whom you gave. Remember the miracle stuff? Like, we had the conversation. Remember, Sarah laughed. Doubted. Yet we had faith. Here I am, 100. All of a sudden, I'm a new father. Remember the promise? Can I have both you and him? He says, no, Abraham, you're going to have to make a choice. So oftentimes we come to God with all our stuff and say, God, here's what I would like. I would like all my stuff and you too. And he says, no, that's not going to work for me. I actually want you to take up your cross daily and follow me. I want you to actually lose your life for my sake. So instead of Isaac laying on the altar, it's almost us laying on that altar. Because all too often the thing that's most valuable to us is not a thing or a possession or even a person. It's me. And that's why he reminds us to be a living sacrifice. Say, well, that's all fine and dandy if your life was in order and everything was rolling smooth, but my life is nothing like that. Actually, I don't have all that stuff, and my life is a wreck. Actually, he probably wouldn't want me at all. Psalm 73, our final point here today. Psalm 73. And verse 26. Maybe this describes you. Maybe your life isn't like Abraham with the cattle and the servants and all the stuff and a prized son and all of that. Maybe your life has been a little more of a roller coaster. And the Bible says in Psalm 73, see if these words describe your life. My flesh and my heart faileth. That sounds like me a little bit more. My life's actually been quite difficult. And when I look at my life and look at what God would ever want, he looks at my life and I think, there's no way he would want me. Oh, quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. He actually, you're quite valuable to him. Psalm 73 and verse 26, as we continue the verse, my flesh and my heart faileth. Hey, if that's ever been your testimony or if that's ever been your life, can you just in your own heart say, yeah, that's me. Thankful for conjunctions in the English language. Next word. But God. Amen. My flesh and my heart faileth. God, I'm weak. I'm a mess. I've made a mess. I don't know where I'm going. I actually don't even know where I've been. And God says, that's all right. But God is the strength of my heart. And he says this, and my portion forever. God, I actually don't even have anything to give you. I feel completely depleted. He says, that's fine. I just want you. Can you say here this morning that the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance? My flesh and my heart faileth. Hey, in the midst of our enemies, Psalm 23 and verse 5, our last verse, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. He says, in the midst of every difficulty I've experienced, yet you still invite me to your table, and you regularly fill me up. I'm thankful that the Lord is enough. He is always enough. When I have nothing, listen, this is the summation of the entire message. When we have nothing, I can still have everything. When my flesh and my heart faileth, when I'm surrounded by enemies, yet God still says, come by me. Why don't you come into my presence a little bit? Why don't you come sit with me? I'll clean you up, and I got something for you. Say, what is it? It's just Him. And if you've ever been completely without, you'll realize how valuable the Lord really is. All too often, it takes a great loss to remind us how good God is. Now, we don't have to go through that. We can just rewire our head to think and to meditate and remind. The girl sang a song. We will remember. Acknowledging God is enough. If all I had was the Lord, I should be satisfied. Let's all stand here today. I'm going to ask you some questions. I told you at the beginning of the service, would you be a little extra sensitive to the Holy Spirit? I know we're touching on some sensitive things. But as we open up the Word, did you see yourself in the passages? We weren't just talking about David the psalmist and Abraham, but we're talking about you and I each and every day in our relationship with the Lord. If your flesh faileth, if your body went, would God still be enough? If you're here this morning, can I ask you this? It's now the afternoon. Can I ask you this? Have you ever put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ completely and totally to save you from your sin? If you're here this morning and you've never done that, in a moment, the music's going to play. We're going to have something called an invitation, and I invite you to come forward or maybe just touch the person's hand next to you that maybe you're sitting next to you, and you can say, can you show me what that means? But maybe you're here this morning and you've put something before the Lord. In your mind, it was a little thing or it was rightly positioned. But after looking at this, there should be nothing higher than God in our life. Maybe you want to come in a moment and talk to the Lord at the altar. See, the altar is where sacrifice happens. Maybe you want to lay out on the altar, God, I've put my needs over you. I've placed a person over you. I've placed a thing over you. There are things in my life where it is just more important to me than you, God. Can I remind you that all of that can be lost? But God can never be lost. I invite you to come. We'll pray and the music will play. Would you be extra sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning? So I don't normally go forward. I usually just kneel right here at the... Yeah, Abraham could have offered Isaac at the house, but yet God sent him a 3 days journey away. Why is that? There's some significance to being at a different place. I invite you to come. If you're physically unable to, I completely understand. But if the Lord touched your heart this morning, I pray that you'd be obedient to what it is that He spoke to you about. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. God, it is good to be able to proclaim that You are the portion of our inheritance. This whole world has nothing in compared to You. We could lose every earthly possession and yet still be so rich. God, help us to see that. Help us to live that. Lord, help us not to get consumed with temporal things. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message that we heard here today? The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. When I have nothing, I can still have everything.